Choose to open up your word this morning. And God, we ask you to help us today to hear your voice. Lord, there's no pretense. There's no intention to do anything other than to proclaim you and lift you up. And God, we ask you that your Holy Spirit would, you're so faithful to do, touch each one of us in a personal way. And we thank you for this time now in Jesus' precious name. We pray. But I also want to pray, Lord, before I stop, I want to pray for Claire, Ron's dad. Lord, you know he struggles mightily with sugar diabetes and some other issues, and he's on dialysis, and there's a real concern right now that there's going to be a removal of some of his toes on his left foot, and they've been through a lot over the course of this last year, 18 months, with losing their home in a fire and then reestablishing themselves. And so we just pray for them, pray for Claire today, and we also want to pray for Ron as he shoulders a lot of the burdens of his family and cares for them and is on disability himself. And so we ask you, God, today for just a rich strengthening and a powerful presence and comfort. And we pray for Jeannie King's son, Brandon's uncle Paul, who's struggling with heart problems this weekend. And God, we ask you today that you'd comfort his heart, comfort Jeannie, a mother's heart, comfort Brandon, and of course, Susie and the rest of the family, Lord, as they watch. And we pray for Jerry as well. And God, we know that you care about our families and you care about the smallest details. And Lord, we don't ever know how many things we prevent because we pray. And sometimes our focus is, I prayed and nothing happened. But Lord, we discount all of the prayers that prevented things from happening. And so we pray, God, for those two families specifically today and ask you, God, for a supernatural touch and anointing there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to thank you for your prayers. Paul and I had an awesome time. We were away. We got to celebrate by surprise the birthday of our 40th daughter. No, not our 40th daughter. Our oldest daughter's 40th birthday. 40's a lot of kids. Wow. Poor Paula, right? But anyway, the reality was that she didn't know we were coming. We were able to pull off the surprise. My mom and dad went along. It was just a really, really sweet, sweet time. And so thank you for praying. Thank you to Ken and to David and the band and all of you who kept serving and kept doing the things that you've committed in your heart to the Lord to do in our absence. It's really an important thing. And we had a sound technician come in, the folks who installed our sound equipment. They came in on Friday and they started making some adjustments, but they also found that we have some other adjustments that are costly. So if the sound's a little strong here or there today or in the next week or so, it's because we're resettling the controls a little bit. So just bear with us. I'll try really hard not to yell. And if I'm going to yell, I'll put my hand up so you can cover your ears. That's a joke. that I'll think further enough ahead to cover, so you can cover your ears. Maybe some of you like to cover your ears the whole time, but next time I'll just let me know. I got earplugs in my desk drawer. But anyway, so thank you. So this morning, you know, I mentioned this a little bit as I was talking about small groups. You know, in a small congregation, and this is something that is symptomatic of our church, is that we have this sense that everybody knows our business. And sometimes they all know our business because we tell them. And sometimes it's because we just have this projection on us, because the enemy, if you're a Christian, you're going to understand this. If you're not a believer and you're just here today with us, it's okay, I understand. But the enemy, Satan, and his group, the demons, their purpose is to annul your faith. So they will do anything and everything they can. And so when the congregation, regardless if it's here, across the street, down the road, across the state, across the country, around the world, anytime the congregation gets together, they begin to speak into the air, into the atmosphere, all kinds of things in accordance with your natural disposition. So in light of that, we need to understand that there's warfare going on all the time. Most of us suffer because of sin. But some of our suffering, for all of us, is also because we choose Christ. And we never expect suffering because of choosing Christ.
We never expect to be at disadvantage because we've prayed and read our Bible. We never speak, we never expect to have something not work right when we have showed up at church and tried to love people and tried to be a good friend, and maybe it didn't turn out so right. So these next 2 weeks, I'm going to be in this real quick series as we set up for Group Link, as we set up to encourage the whole congregation to get into a small group. And so as we speak about this today, we're talking about life in circles. And today, the title is just Watch Your Step. And so you see the graphic we had, because commitment isn't enough. You must be connected. Life is better connected because connection results in faithfulness. See, when we're not connected but committed, sooner or later, the lack of connection, the lack of intimacy with other people, will lead us to not be faithful to the simple things that are in the Scriptures. Because God has not designed you or I to live in isolation. He's not designed our families as a household, a singular household, like the Scholar, Mark and Paula Scholar's singular household, or the Trilly singular household, or the Zanardelli singular household, or the Job's singular household, or the Curcio. He's not designed those households, or any of our other households, to live in isolation. He's designed us to live in community. And in designing us into living community, the devil attacks community. And so it's not enough to have strong connections and strong convictions. We must have strong connections. We've got to be in an environment where we are encouraged, urged, and exhorted to remain faithful. Anytime you talk to somebody that used to attend church regularly, or used to be in a small group, or used to be active in an adult Bible study somewhere, the first thing in the terms of the conversation, just if you listen, you'll find out that they're no longer doing that. That they've become isolated. Something happened. They had an intention and it wasn't fulfilled. They had an expectation and it wasn't fulfilled. They were trying to do something and it wasn't accepted. It doesn't matter what the reason was, but you can see that what happened was the lack of connection directly influenced their faithfulness to believe what God said and live according to what God said. So this series of messages is for all ages. It's for our volunteers. There's volunteers here today. They're ready to pour into our kids. There's volunteers here today that are ready to pour into your life in the second hour. There's volunteers here that have spent their time. So I want to thank those that are present in the building and maybe some of the others that can hear me. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being here on Sundays and being here on Tuesday night for bell choir practice and being in a small group somewhere. Thank you for those who have made a commitment but also are determined to be connected. Because as we think about this, someone is here every weekend prepared to reinforce the values you are teaching at home. Regardless of the age. You know, Paul and I, we are empty nesters. We've been empty nesters now for quite a few years. But you know what? We're still teaching each other. And she's teaching me, seriously, more than I'm teaching her. But that's because she's a little bit older. So she's had six more months, of life. I'm going to get in trouble. I know I do this. But sometimes y'all get so serious. And she knows I'm teasing. Not about the teaching part, but about the age part. I still go into stores and people ask me if that's my sister.
I'm sure.
It's true. Especially when she's with my daughters. You heard my daughters together and me? I get the sales clerks. My dad used to get that with me and my mom, believe it or not, when I had hair. Huh, Dad? You know what? But they're here for free. Somebody opens up their home for free. Somebody spends time preparing a study for free. You can't get that anywhere else. So I just want to encourage you as we sit on this. I'm telling you because it works. I can tell you it works because of me. But not is because of me in the sense of it's worked in me. Not because of me, but it's because of you. It's because of what you give. It's because of what you think. It's because of your leadership. It's because of your stewardship. It's because that you give just incredible, incredible environments that we have. This is an incredible environment we have. There isn't one person that visits us that looks through those glass windows and sees this, even with the lights off, and their first thing is, this is beautiful. There's one person that doesn't visit and walk down through the hallway and say, wow, this church is beautiful. This, you've created this environment. You've made these available for us. Thursday, I was down with the first ministerium meeting for the year. And we were downstairs. And the guys were looking around the room. One of the guys said, what's different down here? And I said, my trustees. And they looked at me. I said, yeah, these guys put all their effort into making this room beautiful. I said, I'm blessed. Because they are amazing servants. So these environments, this isn't because of me. But it's not just for this generation. Whether you're like me in your 60s or in your 50s or in your 70s or your 80s, it's for other generations. It's for the next generations. I've got to tell you two quick stories. There's two people that invested in my life really interesting. One of them's name is Kenny Jackson. He used to pick me up at 6 o'clock in the morning when I was in high school, once a week at Bel Vernon. And he is actually related to Bonnie and by marriage through her daughter, Kristen. Betty Dornan, who just recently passed away, is her brother. But he was active in campus life. He would pick me up at 6 o'clock in the morning once a week and take me and four other guys from Bel Vernon High School to McDonald's for breakfast. And we'd sit around. He'd talk to us about the Bible. There's another guy that some of you know, a few of you know, named Garth Molina. How many remember Garth? There was a season in my life as a teen and as a young adult that there was like, I was just kind of a lot connected. And so Garth used music to connect me. He used to live up at the mounds when he lived in Monongahela, and now he lives down in the Carolinas. And he used to call me up. He'd come pick me up, or I'd drive over to his house. And we'd just sit around and talk about music, and he would always turn the conversation to the Lord. See, when I look back at my faithfulness, as unfaithful as I've been at times, I see that God brought in to connect me to people and people to me. To preserve me, to keep me. You know, my parents, when we were here in this church, we used to come to three services a week. I used to come to BYF. Anything was going on, we were here. I still played sports. My dad worked shifts. We had all kinds of things going on. We had a house in Morag Manor that we had to tend to. We had all the two cars to care for. But you know what else? Every Friday night, my parents opened their house for a Bible study. So see, when I'm talking to you about this being connected and being in community, this isn't something that I'm getting off of somebody else's papers or somebody else's ideas or somebody else's life. This is what I've lived my entire life. This is what I've done in foreign fields. And we haven't done this so well as a congregation over the last few years, except in a couple of cases. But as a congregation, we're going to engage in this. And we're going to engage where we get six to ten adults in a circle once a week. Or at least once every other week, a couple times a month. Where they actually share each other's burdens. Actually care for each other and keep each other faithful. And be a part of that. Because I'm telling you, it works. So we want to do life in circles for all ages. We want this to happen for our kids. We want this to happen for my grandkids. There are things that happen face to face that can never happen when you are shoulder to shoulder, like you are seated here this morning. This must come to be a core of the vision. A community of Jesus followers who are in community and creating community. It's not just to get you all and me together so we're cool, but it is to be in community and to create community. To engage with the people in our city that are not in community, that are isolated. That their lives, they need the Lord, they've been struggling. So I've taught this, that circles are betters and rows. And my prayer is that we will build everything. We will build everything around being in community and being in groups. You want to know why? Because we drift. You drift and I drift. We drift away from the things that are holy and wholesome. If it's good for us, we drift from it. We drift from diet. I like this pulpit. Hides that part from me, right? We drift from exercise. We drift from budgeting. We drift from priorities. We drift from values. We drift from God. The gravitational pull of life is downward. If you are any kind of a student of the scriptures, and many of you are, you can watch this go on all through the scriptures. And especially as we enter in to this season that we're in now, or in the world, in our country, in our local community. Things are not spiraling better. And yet Ecclesiastes tells us not to talk about the good old days, but to sow our seed today, to have an expectation today, to invest in today. So the current of life rarely takes us in the right direction. We drift. And commitment and conviction are not enough to keep us from it. I'm going to repeat that. Commitment and conviction are not enough to keep us from drifting. Because if they were, all of us in this room would be skinnier and wealthier. We'd have less baggage. We'd have fewer regrets, and we'd have no secrets. We are swimming upstream. Everything that's valuable, even humanly speaking, you are swimming upstream. The thing is that we don't want to do it alone. We dare not do it alone. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. The book of Hebrews was written to some Jewish believers, and they were being extremely tempted to stop following Christ and return to Judaism. Our problem in modern America is to stop following Christ with our own hearts and turn to our religion. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic. I'm Russian Orthodox. I'm ecumenical. I'm universalist. I'm Lutheran. And so we start to have these tags. And so this is what was going on there. And so it was written really to a second generation of Christians, most likely, because it was written somewhere between the persecution that Nero started in 64 AD and before Diocletian started his in 84. And this third chapter says this in the Message Bible, Hebrews 3:12. So watch your step, friends. Here's an experienced believer talking about the importance of community. And specifically, talks about not swimming upstream alone. Notice, first of all, he says, friends. And you're in NIV or your King James or in other translations, it can say brothers and sisters. So this is in the third person plural. This isn't just you, Jeannie King. It is you all. All of you that are reading this. And he says this. Make sure there's no evil unbelief living around that will trip you up and throw you off the course. See, he recognized that we all have the ability to drift, regardless of what we believe, regardless of how long we've believed. We have this capacity to turn away. We all do. He went on to say this, diverting you from the living God. Come on now, who in their right mind, seated here this morning, would say, yeah, I'm turning away from God? Think about it. So if that's the case, why would he send this letter to be circulated around a bunch of small groups? They're gathering. They're in fellowship. They're not shoulder to shoulder. They're in circles. They're looking at each other. Because it's interesting that we'd say no to God, but you know what? In every one of us seated here today, and maybe even today, there's an area that you're struggling with and you're just telling God no. And that's exactly what he's talking about when he talks about sitting in a circle. And so as we look at this in the NIV, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We've all heard these stories. Hey, everything was going really good, and then all of a sudden things got bad. And when you go in and you kind of dig down in a little bit and you peel back some of the things in the story, you find out that it was going good, so they stopped reading their Bible. They stopped their prayer. They stopped going to church. And the problem was that there was nobody there that could speak into their life. A string of bad luck comes along. A string of bad things, like one after another. Have you ever noticed something like one after another, and it's always people and personalities, and then all of a sudden it's like we just stop with God? That's how it works. Because this is why, and then after we've had like really good things. So the solution is in this verse, and it's in the imperative, and it's not an individual command. It's a group command. It's a corporate command. And it says, you seek about each other. What he's saying here, and that's the point, is that you need to check up on each other. You need to be looking into each other's lives. You need to look around. Now, the title today is Watch Your Step, but that your is not personal. That your is corporate. One of the difficulties in our English language sometimes is to make things clear that way. See, we need to see what's going on. When we begin to turn away from God, when we begin to lose interest and the drift begins on the outside, it never begins on the outside. The drift always begins on the heart. The drift always begins on the inside. It begins with a doubt. It begins with a question. It begins with like, well, I'm not so sure about that. Or, yeah, but really? I'm not sure I believe that anymore. And these aren't things that go on the outside that we express to people. These are things that are going on the inside in our heart. And it's you know, I'm kind of getting tired of that. We start thinking these things long before they ever come out of our mouths. But when we're in a circle, all of a sudden, there's people looking after me. And even though I haven't expressed it, I can see it in my body language. I can see it in my countenance. They can hear it in the way I say my words. They can hear it in the tone of my voice. And so this word, idea of turn away, is in the sense of a word, it's like small incremental steps. Drifting is always small incremental steps in the heart. Long before it comes out the mouth. Way before it ever comes out the hands and the feet. Drift always begins within, and nobody knows unless somebody is watching your steps. See, because drifting doesn't show in a row. Drifting doesn't show in a row, but it shows in a circle. It shows when there's someone looking after you. I'm constantly reminded of this. You know why? Because I'm the one that gets the phone calls. I'm the one that gets the emails. I'm the one, after it's all come public, is the one, and then I get, if it's a circumstance that I speak into, this isn't about when I make my mistakes. I already do enough of those. Just like you do. But this is the reality of this. This is why circles, because these people are in your life. They're in my life. They're together. That's why circles are more important in rows. Otherwise, we swim alone and we swim upstream. Now, in verse 13 of Hebrews 3, he says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, I got to tell you, this word encourage, when we read it, excuse me, it's a little warm up here. When we read it as like, way to go, good luck, hey, you're looking good. We think that when somebody, we can tell somebody's drifting, we think those words are what the Bible calls encouragement, but they're not. That's what the world calls as encouragement, because there's no power in them. This word here, this word encourage, it's in the imperative, and it says exhort, urge strongly, beg, implore, entreat. It's got this whole idea of warning each other. In the Natural New Living Translation, it'll be up on the screen. You must warn each other. In other words, he's saying, be in each other's lives. See, in a small congregation, that gets really intense. Because we think we have to present something that we're not in order to feel like we fit in shoulder to shoulder. And God's calling us to sit in rows so that we can be who we are, we can be in each other's lives, and we can work with each other. It's not like, say, everybody's secrets are out there. Who cares? Who wants to know everybody's secrets? I don't want to know your secrets as a whole. You certainly don't want to know my secrets as a whole. I want to expose my life and my wife together. We want to expose our life with people who are going to love us. With people who are going to care for us. Not people who are going to put us on trial. And you feel the same way. But as long as we sit shoulder to shoulder and in rows, we never go beyond the superficiality of trying to perform to be accepted. And so we can't exhort and we can't receive exhortation. We can't receive somebody come alongside of us and in begging us to trust God. We can't receive that person looking at us and imploring us. Because our first thought, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, I do. Because there's no temptation that's not common to everybody. That God doesn't provide a way of escape. But my temptation, really? See, that's how the drift starts. It's just a little thing on the inside. And so Rose, they do this to us. And so what happens when you're in a circle? Then the wife who's got things going on at home with the husband, she doesn't have to bear that alone. It's not the group's on them all the time, or the husband that's got to bear things at home because of the wife, or the teenager that's struggling at home because of what really goes on behind the scenes with the parents and how they act. You know, it's so they don't have to bear these things alone. So they don't have to be struggling under these things alone. It's not that the Howe family laundry's, you know, put out for the whole church. Come on. How can you think that? It's because you can't do it alone and I can't do it alone. It's because God's called us in the community and to favor that community and build that community, to warn each other. Because it's like Garth came on to me. I told you about my buddy Garth. Hey, Mark, I noticed this. How you doing here? When I'd go with Kenny Jackson, we'd be sitting around that table at McDonald's. He'd look at me and say, so Mark, how about? You know why? Because he was in my life. It wasn't a reflection of my parents being good or bad models for Christianity for me. It was that he was determined that I wasn't going to swim alone. Think about it. Think about your life. Think about your parents' lives. If they would have been community. Think about the circumstances. Think about your life as a whole. What if you had been in community? Would you have said that? Or would you have done that? Or would you have thought that? Or would you have lived that way if you'd have been in community before that occasion, before that temptation came? Hebrews continues, you must warn each other every day while it's still today. This is not like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This is like a relational thing. Like, I have access, you have access to me. The person, people in your group, they have access to you, and you have access to them. It's not like you've got to hide because you had a same-sex attraction, or you had an abortion, or you had this, or you had that, or fear that's going to get out, or you got pregnant out of wedlock. And you know, good golly, it's not any of that stuff. See, all those thoughts, all that pressure, that's from the devil. And that's to destroy the community of the congregation. So that the congregation is impotent in their families and in the community. That's why we need these small groups. That's why we need to be in these fellowship groups. Well, I don't know what my wife's going to think. You know what? You know what your wife's going to think? Your wife's going to think you love her. Well, my husband, he's, you know what? You know what? He needs to know you respect him. So as we think about this, finally, he says, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This little so that, this brings the purpose of why the Holy Spirit speaking through this Christian is talking to us. So that we will not be deceived by sin and hardened against God. I got to stop there. So you have to come back next week, get the rest. Dan, you want to come up? The best defense against deceitfulness of sin is not you and your personal relationship with God. It's you being in a we situation. Because as we gather together, as we fellowship with others, you know what happens? Somebody's speaking into our lives. Not telling us what to do. They're calling us to Jesus. They're calling us to fellowship. It's not because they're superior or because they're a busybody. It's because God has commanded them. See, that's love. That's love. So this morning, if you just bow your head with me for a minute. Our Heavenly Father, as we kind of wrap up this part of the message, and it's kind of a brief and abrupt cutting, but God, it's what it is. So give us a hunger, give us reflection, give us the humility to open our Bibles up to Hebrews 3 and question, what are we drifting from? What is it that if we told people, they'd say, you're out of your mind? Bless your word to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Burn it deeply so that we can be healed and be a part of your healing process and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I told you earlier, we're going to be taking the offering now for missions. And so if the ushers would please come forward.